Conflict permeates every aspect of modern life, in our homes, on our streets, in our government, our schools, our world. Husband and wife team, Dr. Millicent Carvalho, a professional mediator and licensed social worker, and her husband, Brian Grievous, a retired police detective and former private investigator, tackle conflict of every kind in this no-holds-barred show. Join them now for Why Can't We Get Along?
Welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Millicent Carvalho.
And I'm Brian Grievous.
Today, we're going to be discussing the problem that happens when someone says, let's do it my way. That is, let's do it my way or the highway. So how do you resolve a conflict or an argument when two parties are in a conflict, but each party believes that they're right and the other one is wrong? Like, sometimes I'm right and you're wrong.
So you mean my way or the highway? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. And a lot of people, whether or not they articulate it that way, do mean it's my way, the highway. And even when they're trying to be, let's say, collaborative, a lot of times it's very directive. So we want to talk about why that's not necessarily a good way. And you know, it could be something as simple as whether at home, whether or not you're going to be, like, for example, we had an argument, not an argument, but a heated discussion around buying organic foods. Not so much buying organic foods, but the cost involved in buying organic foods.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wanted me to not buy everything organic, and you wanted me to shop around and try to find the least expensive, which makes a lot of sense, except that sometimes the stores aren't necessarily in the area, so you have to go further and spend more money on gas. You don't particularly think that chicken needs to be quote-unquote organic.
Well, I just think that I think the jury's out on whether or not all this organic stuff is as healthy as they purport to be, because it might cost maybe five times more than...
Yeah, it does. And so here's the issue. Whether or not you're talking about something around chicken that has to do with something in the home, or you're even talking about a work-related issue, the way that we engage in a conflict doesn't necessarily change. It might change initially in that people might pretend to have their professional caps on, but when the issue gets going, people tend to resort to their usual methods of resolving a conflict.
Well, I think that it comes into varying degrees of what the principles that you believe in. If there's some very firm principles that someone believes in and they want to stand by them, they're not going to move off those principles. For the most part, they're going to stay the same. It's varying degrees. I mean, if we use the organic chicken example, I believe that the organic food is probably better than having things with a lot of chemicals and things like that. But I think that the organic food industry, if you will, kind of overdoes it, and they actually charge a lot of money, and they kind of scare people into spending a lot of money into buying things that are really unnecessary. I just believe that if someone has certain principles that they believe in, then they're going to pretty much stay on the ground.
Exactly. When people are trying to get their point across, here's the dilemma. Oftentimes people will try to use, you know, kind of a rational argument. Let me explain to you why I'm right and you're wrong. And they really try to use maybe a moral kind of imperative, or, you know, some kind, it just, you know, something that makes sense to them. But the other person doesn't necessarily get it. And my suggestion is that if that doesn't work, a lot of people will go to the next step. So here's my suggestion. Some people will go to the next step, but here's the next step. All right, if you don't agree with my argument, or you don't think my argument is brilliant, and the sun doesn't, you know, come up, the heavens don't open up, and you come over to my side or my way of thinking, then I'll try this, a cost benefit. I'll explain to you the benefits of going along with my way. If that doesn't work, then people tend to go to the next level, which is really a directive or a veil threat. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next. If you don't do it my way, this is what's going to happen.
Because I guess the main thing is that, again, you have a certain principle that you believe in. And you know, it depends on if those principles are actually in correlation with the other party that you're trying to convince to go your way. You say, my way is a highway, as I was saying. Well, you know,
it could be your conviction.
It could be, and maybe the highway doesn't look that bad. You know, I mean, if
see,
you know, when you start,
yeah, when you say it that way. But this is why we always get in fights, because, and sometimes you don't even know that we're in a quote unquote fight, a verbal fight, because you feel like you're getting your way, and I get very frustrated because yeah. It's not always about the head game. And yeah. When that happens, when the issue or the focus is on, let me give you this moral perspective. I mean, you're a person of high integrity, so oftentimes it's very difficult to fight when you start talking about something from your gut, your level of integrity. Not that I don't have integrity. I think I have a lot of integrity. But I'm usually trying to look at that kind of interpersonal or, you know, the feeling. And not that I, you know, I'm always in these feeling waters, but a lot of times when we do get in arguments, it's because you're talking from the head and I'm talking from the heart.
Yeah.
And you get mad. Not so much you get, I get mad. I get angry. You get frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of people do. I think that if you look at our political situation, some people will look at our president, Obama, and they basically drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak, and they believe that everything he does, regardless if it's good, bad, or whatever. But the fact that he's the first African-American president, so people kind of give him a little more leeway. But if there was any president, and you can go throughout the history, you look at any president, every single president that has been in the Oval Office has been criticized. But criticism of this president is not tolerated.
Now, you know, that's a really good now, observation. Is it because he's always right, or is it because we kind of have our hopes and aspirations tied to this who is also the first African-American president?
Exactly. So no matter what he does, it's okay. It's not that bad.
Alternatively, there are some, you know, if you listen to Fox News, he can't do anything right.
A whole lot of things they don't say. Well, some of the things that Fox News has said, I don't need to necessarily point out Fox News, but people on the right have said, like, the idea of student loans. I believe that student loans, that was a good thing for the government to take over that, because that was, ultimately, the government was the one that was insuring those loans anyway, so why have the banks involved in that process? But a lot of people on the right said, well, you know, they got the government taking over that. And I don't think that was a good thing. I think there were certain things that he's done that are good things. And other things that just completely just don't agree with it.
Yeah, but getting back to the issue about how people argue about things like politics, for example, if we just only concentrate on trying to prove the other person wrong, we may not make as much headway as if we step back and listen to the argument. And sometimes even if you do that, you're not going to come to any agreement. Well, my suggestion is not to go down the road of, let me explain to you the value of my argument, then I'm going to explain to you how my argument can benefit you if you do it my way, and if that doesn't happen, then I'm going to say, basically, let me tell you what's going to happen next, which is another way of saying it's my way or the highway.
Well, that's true, and I think that when in a political context, it's talking about, well, it's my way or the highway in terms of, i.e., the voting booth, to determine what's going to happen next, depending on when a decision is going to be made, or whether or not they force through a bill on the Democrats.
There's not going to be a lot of consensus.
There isn't going to be consensus. So it's really, it's sort of like the scorched earth type of approach of looking at a situation and not trying to resolve differences and conflict.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. And some would offer that the only thing that's important is how we have this dialogue. However, sometimes we have to have a decision or something. We have to come to some kind of consensus because we have to act. There has to be some kind of action. Something has to take place. So there's another way of doing it. There is another way. Sometimes the way that you do it might seem a little willy-nilly or might seem a little, it's taking too much time. But to get consensus, it's really about listening to other people and listening to understand what the other person or other parties are talking about, rather than listening to be understood, meaning as the other person or other party is speaking, you're not trying to formulate an argument, which is, there's a real temptation. Like when you're speaking, I disagree with you. I'm really thinking, every time you say something, I'm thinking, oh, I have a counter argument to that. And it's very hard to just focus in on what you're saying, because sometimes I'll forget what I was going to say. The other problem has to do with how people communicate. So even though I'm listening to understand, if depending on how you articulate or express how you're thinking, it may go over my head and I may totally ignore it and disengage because of the way that you speak. So when we talk about, you know, listening, how we listen or what we listen for has a lot to do with our frame of reference. And you and I always get into problems because, not that we speak different languages, because, you know, I don't like that men are from Venus and women are from Mars, meaning that we speak different languages, because I think that there are women who I think would articulate in the same way that you being a man would, and I think there are men who articulate in the same way that I do in terms of, you know, looking at relationships and talking about feelings and approaching the world that way. I use a lot of metaphors to describe how I feel.
I use metaphors also.
There's an area of agreement, but you also want to get to the bottom line and you want to say, well, what about X, Y, and Z? And oftentimes when we do get in arguments, because we agree on a lot of things, I have to say, we do agree on a lot of things. When we do get into arguments where there's a lot of frustration, it's because we're not talking, it's like we're talking apples and oranges. We're talking about the same subject, and using here as a metaphor, we're talking about fruit, but I'm talking about oranges and you're talking about apples and they don't match up. We're not on the same page. So people can be not on the same page at home. So what happens when they're not on the same page at work or even in the political arena? There are all kinds of problems that come up around this concept of, you know, miscommunication.
Well, from my own perspective, I think that someone has to make the assessment of what is the impact of the my way or the highway solution?
Well, we're seeing it now with all the things that have gone on. Even if something as important as healthcare, most of us really can't get to a discussion about the benefits or the hazards of having a national healthcare because it was my way or the highway. Okay, was pushed through.
Well, that's a political context, but you were talking about in a workplace environment. You know, my undergrad was in management, and if someone is trained as a manager, actually you try to motivate people to achieve the organization's goals and objectives, but you don't try to force it on them. But ultimately, an employee can always
vote with their feet.
Well, not just that. They can sabotage a management.
You're right. That's
they can do it in a passive aggressive way, where they can prove the management wrong by either doing something incorrectly or seeing something wrong and not saying anything about it, letting it fail, say, watch this happen.
Right.
And they can watch it happen.
Right.
And wait for the failure to occur to say, hey, see, I told you so. And having the impact of something that happens bad for the organization.
That's a really good point.
Not being corrected because of the manager's approach to his my way or the highway ultimatum. And in this down economy, the highway is not an option because someone has to eat their family. They have to feed their family. So they figure that, well, they're going to put me in that situation, I'm not going to say anything. I'll do what I'm told to do, but I'll do it in a very passive-aggressive way so that ultimately when something goes wrong, I just let it happen and say it wasn't my decision.
Wow, that can have a lot of negative repercussions. I mean, especially if you're talking any kind of manufacturing, anything where the decisions could cost a life down the road.
In any situation, it could be any type of company environment.
So what's the alternative?
The alternative is for the you talked about the power over person. They should actually appreciate the power that they do have
and work with people.
And feel that they always have that option, but that should be the last option. And there's always alternative methodologies to try to resolve that conflict if we can, so that everybody can be on the same page.
Mm-hmm. And so actually they would be developing a more collaborative style. And it would have to be kind of personalized for whatever situation that we're talking about. And it probably would make a difference. Well, tell me, do you think it would make a difference if we're talking about two line employees, or are you talking about a manager and an employee? Would it make a difference?
It could be a line employee with two line employees that have parallel positions and one is dependent on the other. The other employee could withhold or not do something that would actually affect the other employee.
So you're really talking about the relational component in a different way than I am, but it's still about the relationship.
Exactly. It could be on a parallel level, or it could be vertical level from subordinate to supervisor, so to speak. So there's many different ways that has an effect. And each one is how someone responds to a conflict. Do they exacerbate the problem by digging their heels and allow their position to become the primary issue, or do they try to figure out a way so that everyone can be on the same page?
Well, you're listening to Why Can't We Get Along with Dr. Millicent Carvalho.
And I'm Brian Grievous.
We invite you to come to our website at www.whycan'twegetalong.com and sign up as a member and get access to information that can help you in the home, on the streets, in the workplace, and wherever you are in the world. Go to www.whycan'twegetalong.com. So taking this line of thinking, let's talk about the conflict that's in the news and in our local area at the Lower Merion High School, where the administrators who actually used the webcam in the computers that the students had to spy on them. Now, those administrators, perhaps they believed that what they were doing was right in terms of protecting the property of the school. Now, they went too far, but they believed that what they were doing was a good thing. I don't think they started out believing that they were going to do something, you know, bad or nefarious or secretive or spy on students.
I disagree.
You think they actually wanted to spy on students?
I think when you look at the woman that actually was the vice principal, who actually is the culprit and the primary culprit, for understand. She initially denied that she had looked at any photos, and when they did a check of the computer, they found out that there were tens of thousands of photos that had been viewed by her. So now it doesn't seem like it's a conscientious administrator looking out for stolen laptops, but it just looks like a voyeur that has some other issues there that...
I can see why you think that. But you know what I think? I think that being a vice principal, perhaps her role was to kind of catch students in the act. And I think that she went too far.
That wasn't the whole point. That was never the point. That was the only reason why they had authority, or they even had the mechanism to even look at the webcam, was to catch the thief who had stolen the webcam, and they could report them to the police. It was not to spy on the students.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that, and here's an example. I think that her intention, it was wrong, was to catch students in the act. And no. the vehicle that was available to her.
It's a criminal act regardless.
She thought she was right. I don't believe that she actually, I think she lied after the fact when she got caught. But while she was in the midst of it, I think in her own mind, she was just doing her job. She had a tool that would allow her to catch a student taking drugs that she believed to be taking drugs. And it was wrong, but that's what she believed.
It would be the equivalent of a male school administrator going into the girls' bathroom and checking the stalls to see what the girls are doing in the stalls of the bathroom.
Yes. Okay, this might seem to you, you know, from your background, impossible.
It's not even a background.
Let me finish. Is it possible that using your example, that person was became so overzealous in catching girls misbehaving, they failed to appreciate what makes sense in terms of just privacy and what's just unacceptable, that they were so driven by catching people in the act that they actually did something that was criminal?
Well, that's
as opposed to someone who is a pedophile or something like that.
That's the argument that pedophiles use.
Well, yeah, but
that's what they were trying to do.
Do you think this assistant principal was a pedophile?
I think that the initial denials and then the subsequent evidence that came out, that there were tens of thousands of photos.
And they laughed about them. They thought that they actually had the one up on students.
That
it was inappropriate.
That right there suggests to me that there's a lot more criminal behavior there.
You think it's actually criminal?
Yes, it is.
I don't disagree that it's criminal. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. The thinking that got this assistant principal in the position that she's in might not have been too far from let's do it my way, in terms of her goal was to prove that she was right and that students were misbehaving. That was her goal. How she went about it was criminal, but her goal that she was right, and because she was right, she had the right to spy on students and violate their Fourth Amendment rights. That she thought she was right. And I bet if you had a chance to talk to her while she was in her element, she would have denied that she was doing anything criminal.
Let me just say this, that I don't believe that this person would have allowed someone else to peer over her shoulder when she was making all these tens of thousands of views of the webcams.
So she wouldn't have followed the golden rule, treat other people the way you wish to be treated.
This was done
maliciously?
Surreptitiously, and it was tens of thousands of images. So just think,
from one student or from many students?
From many students.
But she collected them.
Tens of thousands. So how?
She mined them.
You have to look at the, I don't know how she collected, but the fact that there's tens of thousands of images that were viewed means that she had to spend a significant portion of her day doing that. I don't believe anybody in Lower Marion School District, the school board, advised her to do that.
No,
or even suggested that she did it. So I don't think you can justify having done what she did. And I didn't think the whole thing was a big deal, but the parents were on to something.
Yeah.
And they kept pushing with this lawsuit. Now something's coming out.
I'm glad they did. I'm not suggesting that what she did was right. I'm just trying to show how when a person gets into their mind that they're right, and when they're right and then they have a right to, they can get into this situation. So I'm just going to back up
and look
at it from her point of view, how she got into it, that she thought she was right.
Let me use an example here. Suppose Bernie Madoff said, listen, I was right. I got people 20% return on their investment. And I brought a lot of money to charities and foundations who invested in my Ponzi scheme. Now, he did a lot of good things. A lot of foundations lost a lot of money in Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme, but he made a lot of money for them too over the years.
Yeah.
So does that make that right? Does the end justify the means?
I'm not saying it's right. What I'm saying is that how people think that they're right. So Bernie Madoff is a good example, because in his thinking, as you talk about how he might argue his case, he might argue his case that he's done a lot of good. So if you try to show that he's wrong by arguing against him, he can always say, well, look at all the good I've done. You could also say, for all the people that benefited, they benefited knowing that somebody else didn't benefit. So you could, that there's a whole issue there. Well,
they didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, well, they didn't know. Of course, they didn't know it at the time. But going down that road doesn't necessarily make an argument cease. It doesn't get the other person to think, well, you know, you're absolutely right. Because let's say that doesn't work. You give him your moral argument about, is it right? You give him an argument about there are other people who have lost. That doesn't work. You can say, well, you know what? You could go to jail for doing what you're doing. Or you can go to the last one. This is what's going to happen. That kind of thinking argument doesn't necessarily get the argument resolved.
I think that, well, these are bad examples because they involve
crime. Other people.
They involve crimes. They involve criminal behavior, things that are actually illegal. So that's why they're not good analysis.
They're good analysis, believe it or not. And because when people commit crimes in their mind at that time, they believe they're right. Or they have a right to do something.
But that's a non-negotiable issue in a civil
society. The outcome is that people get hurt and that they go to jail. So that there is a veil of threat. Let me tell you what's going to happen next. And we know what happened with Bernie Madoff. Here I am showing or trying to show that just using that kind of intellectual doesn't necessarily resolve the argument. You know, it's really about, you know, how were people affected by what he did? He hurt a lot of people. He hurt a lot of people that he was trying to help. All those philanthropic organizations. He hurt those people.
How do you make this or convey this argument to a sociopath?
You can't.
Exactly.
Not to a sociopath.
Exactly.
But not every person who commits a crime is a sociopath.
But here's the whole point.
So maybe you're right. He wasn't the best example. But he does provide an example of how a person believes that you're right
and continues to do behavior that
can hurt other people.
I'll take it one step further to go back to this administrator, Laura Marion. How do we know that she's not a sociopath?
We don't.
50,000 photographs that she looked at. 50,000.
That's a lot of pictures.
And you think about how long it takes to look at 50,000.
Now, we don't know what the time frame is.
But it doesn't make a difference.
We don't know what the time frame is.
Have you done anything 50,000 times, you think?
We don't know what the time frame is. We don't know if maybe there were 100 pictures on the screen.
I watch a lot of
100 pictures on the screen.
I watch a lot of TV, and I don't believe that I looked at 50,000 images of.
But we don't know how they came up. It could be the little image that comes up on a Facebook. We don't know what it looked like. Okay. We don't know what the time frame was. We don't know anything. What we do know is that she sure had an interest in finding people doing things inappropriately. She had an interest.
Surreptitiously.
She had an interest.
Do we have the definition of voyeur anywhere so we can kind of compare her activity and see if it defines what a voyeur is?
You're right. So let's summarize. Let's do it my way. Sounds like a good idea. But if the other person or parties that you're talking to don't want to do it your way, how do you get people to see a different way?
I'll say this much, that if you require input from the other party and it's a my way, highway proposition, sometimes you might get what you ask for and it may not be the result that you necessarily expect. So my way, the highway, you might have the power to do that. But be careful what you ask for, because sometimes there are consequences that you're not aware of and you may not anticipate. So if it's better to negotiate and resolve the conflict rather than to take the heavy-handed approach.
Well said. You're listening to Why Can't We Get Along? I'm Dr. Millicent Carvalho.
And I'm Brian Grievous.
Take care.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us today for Why Can't We Get Along on WebTalkRadio.net. You can direct your comments or questions directly to Millicent at MILLICENT. That's Millicent at WhyCan'tWeGetAlong.com. If you'd like to contact Brian, please email him at Brian, BRIAN, at WhyCan'tWeGetAlong.com. Have a great week, and remember, don't hate, mediate.